From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message called Spiritual Methods for Successful Warfare, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 104 and verse 16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Without sap, the tree cannot flourish or even exist. Vitality is essential to a Christian. There must be life, a vital principle infused into us by God the Holy Ghost, or we cannot be trees of the Lord. The mere name of being a Christian is but a dead thing. We must be filled with the Spirit of divine life. This life is mysterious. We do not understand the circulation of the sap, by what force it rises, and by what power it descends again. So the life within us is a sacred mystery. Regeneration is wrought by the Holy Ghost entering into man and becoming man's life. And this divine life in a believer afterwards feeds upon the flesh and blood of Christ, and is thus sustained by divine food. But whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, who shall explain to us? What a secret thing the sap is! The roots go searching through the soil with their little spongules, but we cannot see them suck out the various gases, or transmute the mineral into the vegetable. This work is done down in the dark. Our root is Christ Jesus, and our life is hid with Him. This is the secret of the Lord. The radix of the Christian life is as secret as the life itself. How permanently active is the sap in the cedar! In the Christian, the divine life is always full of energy, not always in fruit-bearing, but in inward operations. The believer's graces, are not every one of them in constant motion? But his life never ceases to palpitate within. He is not always working for God, but his heart is always living upon Him. As the sap manifests itself in producing the foliage and fruit of the tree, so with a truly healthy Christian, his grace is externally manifested in his walk and conversation. If you talk with him, he cannot help speaking about Jesus. If you notice his actions, you will see that he has been with Jesus. He has so much sap within that it must fill his conduct and conversation with life.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Having entered the land of Canaan, as God divided the waters of the Jordan, the army of Israel was eager to begin the battle for Jericho. From the captain of the Lord's hosts, Joshua received instructions that must have come as a shock to a seasoned soldier. Instead of launching a straightforward attack, Joshua was commanded to have the army march around the city in absolute silence once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to march around it 7 times and then to shout. This was not man's way to wage war, but it was God's way. Since Joshua was a man of faith as well as a military leader, he knew that God's way would lead to victory. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, God's work must be done in God's way. This applies to worship and to service. As we've seen, the Lord has good reasons for working as he does. This is partly to show the limits of what the flesh can do, and also to lead God's people to rely solely on God's power. Furthermore, God's ways are always effective, for Jericho's walls fell down flat. Any other way would have ended in failure, but because Israel obeyed the Lord, they won an overwhelming victory. The same holds true in every area of Christian endeavor. Now to conclude this message, Spiritual Methods for Successful Warfare, here is Dr. Cairns.
Can I say that God has good reasons for his way of working? Didn't make military sense, as I say, to walk around the walls of Jericho, but it made spiritual sense. Let the people see the magnitude of the task before them. And let them feel the impotence of the flesh. And let the men of Jericho see that they were not, in the ultimate sense, they were not merely facing the armies of Israel. If this is all they could do, they hadn't anything to fear. And it led God's people to rely solely on the Lord. Now, I'm not going to take time to develop those, but let me tell you, those are the reasons why God has ordained spiritual means for spiritual warfare. That we may see how great the task is. That we may feel the weakness and the impotence and the uselessness of the flesh. And that we may be driven to our knees. That we may be driven to call upon our God. That we may be driven to wait until we are endued according to his promise with power from on high. He has good reason for the way he has ordained for his work. And the final thing, let me say, is that God's way of working is effective. The walls of Jericho fell down. They fell down flat. Now, obviously, that's a relative statement. They didn't all fall down flat. I say that because Rahab lived in a house in the wall, and she had the scarlet rope hanging down as the sign, hers was the house. So that section of the wall did not fall down flat. Rahab was saved. But the rest did. The rest did. They walked around. Jericho's walls were standing. 7 times the seventh day they walked around. Jericho's walls were standing. The trumpets of Jubilee sounded. Jericho's walls were standing. The men inside Jericho must have wondered, what on earth are these people doing? Then finally the people shouted. Now, I have no doubt that shout, and I suppose also the sound of the trumpets, may have induced some fear in the men of Jericho. After all, they were under siege. But if that's all Israel was ever going to do, if there were no battering rams and slings and all that, hey, the men of Jericho thought we're safe. But as that shout echoed to heaven, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. God's way was effective. Now, any other way would have been a failure. Israel had a great army, but it would have failed.
If you want to prove that, you just read on and see that same army at the little town of Ai, as we usually call it in English. A Jew would laugh at that, but for want of a better name, we'll stick with it. Just a little place. It would be like a small version of Traveler's Rest. And this great national army fled from it in defeat. So any other way of approaching Jericho, they could have come with all their military stratagems. They could have come with all of the formations of their soldiers. They could have had their plans in order. But if they had tried any other way, they would have failed 100% outside the walls of Jericho. I want to tell you the same is true in the spiritual sense. You take the day of Pentecost, and that will be an example of the truth that I'm showing. God told his people, wait, wait. Christ is risen from the dead. Wait. And that must have been a hard thing to do. These people had seen the risen Christ. They had seen him physically ascending into heaven. Their hearts were aglow. They believed they could capture the world. Gone was the fear. Gone was all the weakness and the doubt. But God said, no, wait. Wait. Day after day after day after day, they waited. Is the opportunity not passing? No, no, no. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. Then God moved. And my, when God moved, the walls came down. When you read those opening chapters of Acts, you find that the men who had been so organized to crucify Christ, the men who later were so organized, the Sadducees particularly, in their opposition to the gospel, the chief priests, they were so taken by surprise, they were so stunned, that for a while they could do nothing. The walls came down. People were saved. Even a great company of the priests became believers. God's work done in God's way is always successful. Every great revival in history proves the same thing. But let me tell you, it's not only in revival that's true. That's true when it's hard. When David Brainerd first went to the Indians, he didn't see revival in the sense we think of. He had hard labor, strong groanings and prayings, reaching out to a heathen people, seeking to win them for Christ, seeing God move in what we would have to say in comparison to other movements was a small way. But let me tell you, it was God's work done in God's way. And I don't think that I'm reading too much into history. And if I'm writing this, it's a shame that most Americans and most American schools say little or nothing about David Brainerd. But if I'm right, I will say to the labors of that young man doing God's work in God's way, you can trace the greatest missionary revival in the world since the day of Pentecost. John Wesley was strangely moved by the diaries of Brainerd. What a work Wesley and Whitfield did. William Carey was fired for missionary service through the diaries of Brainerd. Carey himself, the father of modern missions, didn't see what the world would call revival when he went to India. But again, he did a work which spawned the entire modern missionary movement that has reached its tens of millions of souls for Jesus Christ. In every continent on the planet, God has won his millions because of a young man who gave his life here in America doing God's work in God's way. It's always effective. Still true today. Still true today. Anything else is false. False fire will never do the work of God. In fact, it will bring down the curse of God. Man-made revivals are a curse. They are not a blessing. They are a curse, not a blessing. Understand that. This wild, manufactured revival movement, as it's so called, this type of lunacy that you have people traveling all over the world to participate in the city of Toronto. This wild lunacy of the South African Rodney Brown running around cackling, thinking his cattle is the power of the Holy Ghost, preaching on the damnation of souls in hell and cackling like a lunatic as he does so. Not supposed to be revival. Let me tell you, my friend, that is false fire, and that is a curse. It is not a blessing. God's work must be done in God's way. God has the best of reasons for instituting that way, and that way will be effective. We need, like Joshua, to be men of battle spiritually. We also need to be men of God, to heed God's command, and to do God's work in His way. Listen, He has given us spiritual weapons. He has given us spiritual methods. We can never better them. We can never replace them. Christ in the midst. A holy walk. Praise and prayer and preaching. Witnessing to Jesus Christ by people who are walking with Him in the midst. I want to tell you, that has always been honored of God. And it always will be. We have the plan. Now, let's obey God. Let us take God's way. Let's labor as He instructs. And God Himself, the captain of the Lord's host, will take the responsibility of giving the victory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. Write it on every heart. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt enable us to take seriously the Lord's way of doing the Lord's work. Thou hast given Thine own commands. Those commands are clear and plain. We confess, Lord, that ours it is to follow and to obey. We pray for grace to have a Christ-exalting walk and a Christ-exalting witness. Lord, cleanse us from worldliness and wickedness of walk. Lord, forgive us for all that would grieve away the gracious Spirit of Christ. Grant us grace with Christ in the midst, so to walk and war that we bring honor to the Savior and we bring souls to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.